Okay, so good morning. So the topic today, I want to go through, understand a little bit the challenge which we have with calculating shiurim, and maybe give some practical suggestions on it, some ideas of how to deal with it. I think on the flyer, we spoke about calculating kiddush, matzah, and the third thing, amount of bread for hamotzi. I don't remember what the third thing was. Okay.
Sure, it wasn't maror.
It wasn't more. No, it was not more. Okay, so the Torah gives us our calculations of measurements, usually tied to an item. Something is the size of a kizai, it's the size, it's something like an olive, it's like kebeya. We have an amma, right? We have an etzva. Etzva is measured the width of a thumb. The width of a thumb is across the main knuckle of the thumb. That's how you measure an etzba. So there are four etzbas in a tefach, which is a fist. And the more it talks about it, there's sometimes we use the fist tight, sometimes we use the fist being loose. We have an amma, which is the length calculated from your forefinger all the way to your elbow. So we're always using measurements which seem to be tied to physical things. We don't say, you know, you give me all the size of. We have something called a kav and a saw. These were measurements of some container, but they're always tied back to a smaller measurement, which starts being something which we can use a physical item. So why was this? Why is this? So if you look at in the booklet on page 10, so on the left column, the paragraph, second last paragraph on the page, Achakach Reisi. So he quotes a Chubas Goin. So there's the period of time between the Gemara and the Rishonim that was known as the period of the Goinim. There were two yeshivas, Surah Papadisa. Each one had, the Rosh Yeshiva was called the Goin. And at that point in time, they were the basic, still the primary authority for all of Klal Yisrael. And all questions were sent to them, and we have very extensive literature of their response to questions. It's called Tshuvos HaGaonim. There's about 10, 12 volumes of that Tshuvos HaGaonim, which we have. So it's some of it's printed by Masechta, some of it's printed by a collection of Tshuvos. So over here they ask the question, we want to know what is the correct way to measure challah. So there's some person somewhere in North Africa is sending a question to the Goyin, and they had people going back and forth, and they sent them back, how do you measure the right amount which is chayiv in the midst of challah? How much dough is chayiv in the midst of challah? So he says, well, we know that it's shir challah is mem gimel beya b'chemesh beya. Shir challah, the amount of dough which is 43 and a fifth eggs. Well, kach natzal on atar shir bebeitzim ubeperis. The Torah gave us the measurements of shurim, eggs, fruits, shadivrei sofrim. Chacham used these words, but shenol al harsinai nitnu kinechsi v'aleim akol admorim. That which the Chacham used these measurements, they didn't make up themselves. The Torah, but they were given from the Torah. Skipping the brackets, the fish abeyim aperis nimsoim b'chol makim. They're available everywhere. We're going to spread out amongst the nation. And we give you the calculations based on measurements, types of containers and types of weights which they used in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu or the time of Chazal. We don't know what those are anymore. We don't know exactly we don't have those containers anymore. We don't have those weights. So we don't know how to calculate that. So if we'd be given in such numbers, we would have no way to figure out what we have to do. Therefore, they changed from generation to generation.
Good morning,
Rabbi. See, I'm going to ask you a favor to please not say hello to people in the middle of my share. Okay? Thank you. They've changed recently. They've changed very much so from the earlier generations. But there's always eggs around. There's always fruits around. Which means So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take, like the Mishnah says in Masechtas Kelim, that you're supposed to use the middle-sized egg, you're supposed to use the middle-sized olive. Right? So what are you supposed to do? I don't know what the middle-sized egg is, you know. Like if I travel all over the world, I find the largest chicken egg and the smallest chicken egg. So I'm allowed to use the eggs which I have in front of me. The place that I live, the time that I live, and the place that I live, I'm going to use those eggs. The place that I live, the time I live, I'm going to use those olives. So this is the most portable things that we have. The measurements which are totally portable. So in the United States of America, they tell you that according to the egg growers, the Poultry and Eggs Growers Association, they tell you there are 5 different sizes of eggs. And of course, you know, marketing is the way it is. They're called small, medium, large, extra large, and jumbo. Right. So the middle size is called large. Right. That's the medium-sized egg. So I'm very good. I take my egg. I go to the store. I buy what's called a large egg. It's the medium-sized egg. And I measure that volume. It's very easy to do. I want to figure out the average size olive. So there are 7 sizes of olives according to the olive growers. And there's small, medium, large, extra large, colossal, extra colossal, and jumbo. All right. Okay. So the medium-sized olive is called extra large. Right, so you know, marketing is a wonderful thing. So you go and get your extra large olive, and that's the volume of an olive. So very simple. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. So these measurements are not very large. Right? An egg, a large egg, is not very large volume wise, and an extra large olive is not very large volume wise. It's about 0.7 of an ounce. In volume wise, in fluid ounces, it's not very large at all. Okay, so that's what it should be. So we should be eating a piece of matzah based on that, about the size of our hands, the palm of our hands. That's what the piece of matzah you should use for 1 kazayas for the night of the Seder. Right? That's pretty straightforward. If you're talking about eating bread the night of Sukkot, because bread is, you know, thicker than a piece of matzah, all measurements are by volume, not by weight. So the volume of a piece of bread, right? It's about that big. And there you go, that you're eating your kazayas, right? And you can picture eating 2 kazayasim very quickly in your the lot of time that you have. We can picture eating 4 kazayasim in a lot of time that we have. And we seem to be, so why in the world are we given these this larger measurements? Where do they come from? What's that all about? Okay. So the challenge is like this. The Gemara comes along back on page 3 of your booklet. The more it comes along, and the more it actually ties the size of a revius to 2 measurements. The size of a revius is a measurement which is tied to the eggs. The size of a revius is a measurement which is also tied to finger breadths. Right? So the more it ties the 2 together. So look at the Gemara, if you turn to page 14, there's a chart there, and it's just good to familiarize ourselves with some of these ideas in the charts. So the first one we have, midas ha'orech, measurements of length, of distance. So there are 4 etzbos and 1 tefach and the 6 tefachim and an amma. Right. So again, an etzba is measured across the width of your thumb. By the widest point of a thumb, that's 1 etzba. 4 etzbos equals a tefach, and 6 tefachim equals an amma. So there's 24 etzbos and an amma. We know that there's a measurement called a lug, there's a measurement called a kab, a measurement called a saw, and we use many of our measurements are based on that amount, but they all go back to an egg. There are 6 eggs in a lug, and there's going to be 6 lug and a kav, there's 4 kav and a saw, etc., etc. We always go back to the eggs. Now, there's something called a revius. So revius means a quarter. So that's a very not clear step. It's a quarter of what? So revius is actually a shortened phrase. It means revius a lug. So revius is a quarter of a lug. So if there are 6 eggs in a lug, and this is a quarter of a lug, so it's 1.5 eggs. So 1 revius is a quarter of a lug, is 1.5 begim. So the Gemara gives us this measurement of a revius, which we know is 1.5 eggs. The Gemara also gives us this measurement based on finger breadths. Now, how does the Gemara do that? Because we know the following. The starting point really is a mikveh. We know that the more it tells us, we know that a mikveh holds 40 saw of water. The mikveh, which is the Torah requires that a person should be tovel themselves in, holds 40 saw of water. Saw, there's so many, so there's 40 saw, each saw is so many kav, each kav is so many lug, etc. So we have a measurement which eventually goes get back to eggs, or get back to revieses, right? But the Mura also tells me that the measurement of the size of a mikveh, which is required for the Torah for tefillah, is an amma by an amma by three ammas. So that we have a very clear, the Mura gives us a measurement which is going to be, can be measured both by distance, putting the distance, the measurements of length together, and creating a volume based on that. It can also be measured by the measure of a volume of eggs. So here the Mura ties the two together. And the Gemara then makes the calculation backwards and figures out, based on that, how big is a revius. Both by, we know how, it's a 1.5 eggs, but a revius is also so many finger breadths by so many finger breadths, etc. That's what the Gemara does for us. Let's just see that Gemara. This is a very important Gemara because now we're going to have this challenge. Everything is portable. Eggs are portable, owls are portable, fingers are also portable. But what do you do when your fingers are portable and they come up with a different measurement than your eggs? And that's going to be the challenge. Right? Because the Gemara ties the two together. Okay, so we're on page 3. Omer Kista, Revius Shal Torah. If the Revius that the Torah requires of a person is Etzbayim, Al Etzbayim, it's 2 finger breadths by 2 finger breadths, Berum, Etzbayim, by 2, the height of 2, V'chatzi Etzba, and a half, V'chemesh Etzba, and a fifth. So 2 plus 0.5 plus 0.2 is 2.7. So it's 2 by 2 by 2.7. And I think I gave you that measurement all the way in the back over there. Somewhere along the lines, it should tell you that. Mm-hmm. The revius is 2 etzbos, the bottom line, almost the bottom line, 2 etzbos by 2 etzbos by 2.7 etzbos. When you cube that, you'll get 10.8 etzbos cubed. So it's cubed to 10.8 etzbos. Okay, that's how big it is. Mor says, how do you know that? Kidatanya. So the pasuk tells you that there's a din of tefila. It has to be the whole body is in there. Can't have any type of chatzitza. B'mayim b'mei mikvah as kol basar b'mayim shekol gufa ela b'hem. It has to be enough water that the body can fit into. V'kamehain. How much is, what's that size? Amma al amma berum shalosh amas. It's 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 ammas. Chacham also told us that the measurement of the mikvah is 40 saw. So Mor says, if you take the math and you figure out 1 amma by 1 amma, which means 24 etzbos by 24 etzbos by 72 etzbos. Remember, an amma is 6 tefachim, and a tefach is 4 etzbos, so 6 times 4 is 24. So an amma, we're saying it's 24 etzbos by 24 etzbos by 72 etzbos, 3 times 24. Right, that's, we take that measurement, and it's also 40 saw, right? So 40 saw is so many kav, and it's so many. So 40 saw ends up being, right, 3,840 revius. So we take this big measurement of 24 by 24 by by 72. We multiply it out. We divide it by 3,840, and we come up with 10.8. Right, so 10.8 is 2 by 2 by 2.7. So then we figured out exactly how large revius is. So we know how large revius is. Revius is this measurement of 2 by 2 by 2.7. We also know that revius is 1.5 eggs. So very good. So Bizman Chazal, those measurements were equal. Those two measurements equaled. Bizman Gemara, they equaled. Now they're no longer equal. So what do? We can say, forget about the measurements, you know, looks like an egg and a half, good enough for me. That's one argument. So let's forget about egg and a half, it has to be 2 exposed by 2 exposed by 2.7 exposed, good enough for me. Or we're trying to figure out, what happened? What's the problem? How do we answer the philosophical question? So one answer is, I have no answer to the philosophical question, but it's irrelevant. I choose one of the two measurements, and I use that. And I haven't answered the philosophical question because that's not really my goal right now. My goal is not philosophy, but it's halacha. So what do I do is the question. Or you want to say, I want to figure out if I can answer the philosophical question. So the Tzlach raises this question. That's not a Behuda, wrote a sefer, Masechtas Pesachim. So he points out that he measured these two things out and they did not come out to be the same size. So it means, like the Shimon HaKadosh said, every person is empowered, has a right to take what he sees as the average etzba, what he sees as the average egg, meaning the middle sized egg that you look for, basically what you perceive as be a middle sized person, right? And as a rabbi, I'm sure he's seen many people in his life, right? So he found the individuals which he feel are basically the range of what would be considered the average sized person. He measured their average sized hands, right? I think I have small hands, right? So and he measured their thumb breadths, and he figured that out. And then he figured out how much liquid he could put into a container which was that size. Then he measured eggs, and he figured out how much eggs he could fit into that size. He figured he had the volume of 3 eggs in that container instead of 1.5. So this is the calculation that he came up with. So he says, okay, so now we have to assume something changed, because at the time of the Gemara they were the same size. So either the eggs which we're dealing with now are smaller than the time of the Gemara, and by half, or we've become larger than the people at the time of the Gemara by double. Right, those are basically the two options that he could come up with. He says it's not logical to him that we've doubled the size of our hands from the time of the Gemara, but it's very possible that the size of the eggs has gotten smaller. The Chassam Sofer says we see from Chazal that in general Paris were larger. The time of when Eretz Yisrael was with its bracha, the Paris were larger. So you have to assume that probably what happened is that the Paris got smaller. Okay. Now,
or going from the Middle East to Europe.
Right? So, but either way, it's going to be the same result. But remember, the Gardner said that's irrelevant. Really, that point would be theoretically irrelevant.
Right.
Because the Torah says you can measure based on the eggs where you are and based on the olives where you are. Right? So this is a philosophical question, but it's irrelevant to halacha lemaisa at first glance, because that's true. I found the fossil remnants of eggs over the last 3,000 years, and they've gotten smaller. Who cares? According to the Gardner, you use the eggs of your time in your place. The problem is, we have two measurements, and both of them are the measurements which the Torah gives us. So we have to figure out, based on that, we have to give precedence to one measurement over the other. So we can say, you know what, it's a sophic. We don't know. So with a sophic, what should we do? So we follow the general rules. When you have a sophic and a Torah mitzvah, you're machmer. You have a sophic and a drabana mitzvah, you're mekel. Now, being machmer, sometimes when you're talking about mitzvahs, we require a larger amount. We talk about averus, we talk about a smaller amount. Maybe the egg is the right size, and therefore the smaller amount is already the averu. Maybe the thumb breast is the right size, and therefore you need a larger amount to be to the mitzvah. And I should say, well, okay, based on this point, I'll say, listen, by mitzvah deraisa, I'll be machmer; mitzvah derabanan, I'll be mekel. Right? That would be an approach which we could use to address this question. That is the point of the tzlach. The tzlach raises this point that something has changed, and he gives precedence to the measurements of the hand breaths, assuming that that's the one which stayed stable and the other one changed. So we you're right, the Gaon has said do whatever you have, but if here I have two measurements and one of them is the measurement of the Gemara and that's remained stable, that's more logical to use than the other one which has changed. That's his argument. So I have to make my measurements not based on... So the Shulchan Aruch says when you want to measure the amount of dough which is chayim and chalos, so the Torah says that you measure it by displacement. You take a container, right? I was contemplating doing this, but you know, I didn't want to ask my wife to possibly smash 43 eggs because I can see myself getting that wrong, right? So you take a large pot So there's different ways of doing it. One of the, you know, you fill up to the top, you start putting in eggs, and it falls out into the small, you put a smaller pot with putting eggs in, and the water flows over to the larger pot, you measure that water, and that's your volume, that is chayiv and the shear of chal. Okay, you do something along those lines, that you take a container, you have water in it, you a certain measure of the water, then you take all the water out, you put the eggs in, you start pouring the water back in to get it to how much water you need to get it to a certain height, measure the specific height that you had before, and you'll see the difference which remains in the cup that you're pouring from is the measurement of the amount of the eggs, the volume of the eggs. Right? So that's actually what the Shulchan Aruch says to do it the second way. Again, so you take a large container, measure it to a certain height, and then measure that amount of water. Okay, put eggs in. 43 eggs and a fifth of an egg. All right, put that in. Pour the water back and get it back to the same height. Well, the eggs took a certain amount of volume, so you use less water. So the remaining water in the container, which I'm pouring from, is the amount of the volume of the eggs. So that's how you measure the volume of the egg, the Shulchan Aruch says. Well, that's very good. According to the Nadav Yehuda, we can't do that, because that's measuring based on eggs, and our eggs are too small. He says, well, once you know that the calculation is basically, he did it multiple times, it's half. He says, no problem, measure that amount and double it. And you know that you'll have your measurement based on thumb rests. Okay. So that's what the Rebbe Yehuda says to do. The Mishnah Berurah, Halacha L'maisa, on this point, so in Siman Tav Pei Vav, which is the halacha of how much you have to eat a kazayas of matzah. So, he says that... Shachnor says that Shir Kazayas is Yeshar and Tahabi Kachatzibeya. Well, the Kazayas now is a half of an egg. That's what Chazal told us. That's what the Rishonim told us based on Gemara's, that the measurement of a Kazayas that Chazal referring to was a half of an egg. Okay, so I know how big my eggs are, so I know how big my half of an egg is supposed to be. Right? He says, well, but the problem is the eggs maybe are too small. Right? Maybe the eggs are too small. So what should we do? This is not a Behudok question. So at the end on page 7, he brings over here, and he says like this, the Masha Kosov Makar Kazai Kachatzibeya, La Milsip Sikta, he bizwanenu. It's not so clear. The Eshmer Akhranim Shechichu, there are Akhranim which have proven, and this is the Tzlach and the Sam Sefer, that our eggs are smaller than the eggs which Chazai were using. Therefore, the shear of Kechatzibeya, you would have to actually double it, which is the size of an egg. So in the first, in the darkened part of the Mishnah Berurah, the highlighted part of the Mishnah Berurah, in the first white line, Vayeh b'shari tshuva shekriya. So the shari tshuva comes up with the following compromise. Sheyesh l'chalak b'zeh l'nyin shurim bein dover shechiva min atara, dover shechiva min rabbanan. So something which is the raisa, you should be machmer. Something which is the rabbanon, you should be mekel. You can use the measurement based on the smaller, on the measurement of eggs at the time where you're living. Therefore, he says morer, which is the rabbanon, afikomen, which is the main mitzvah matzah, is the first kazayas that you eat. Afikomen is the rabbanon. Kaisis, the four kaisis, all of those can be measured based on the smaller amount. And the first kazayas of matzah, you should use the larger amount. So that's the Mishnah Berurah comes out. That's what you should do. Okay. Now, what's interesting is, the next step we want to think about is, so the Shulchan Aruch came along and said that the shear of a kazayas is, some say it's a half of a kebeah. Now, some say it's a half of a kebeah, means some say it's not a half of a kebeah. That's why Shulchan Aruch said, some say. Well, what does the other one say? Right? So the some say is Tosis, and Tosis says, based on two Gemaras, one Gemara says that a person cannot, the base ablia, the place where a person swallows, can handle two kazesim at the same time. That's one Gemara. There's another Gemara where the Gemara says that the base ablia can't hold more than a kebeah at one time. So if you tell me you can't hold more than a kebeah one time, it won't say you hold two kazesim one time, so the math is very easy. Right? You can hold a kebeah, you can hold two kazaisim. Indeed, kazaisim is half of a kebeah. That's Tosis. The Rambam, however, says that the measurement of a kazaisim is a third, less than a third of a kebeah. It's less than a third of a kebeah. So Mishnah Berurah here on page 6, Dhabi kachati beya, benanis im kliposa. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's calculated as an average egg using the volume of the shell as well. Now, I want to point out, we'll get back to this, that everybody argues on Mishnah Berurah. Nobody says like Mishnah Berurah that it means over here without the shell. Because we're discussing swallowing. We're talking about an egg which you're swallowing, right? And so we're talking about the egg you're swallowing. You don't swallow the egg with the shell. But that's around the kazayas of kishlish beya. The Rambam holds that it's like a third of a beya. Now, the truth is, the Rambam is actually not a third of a kebeah, but it's actually less than a third of a kebeah. How much less? That's going to be a big debate. Where does that come from? So Mishnah Berurah doesn't tell you the calculation. I'll just tell you the calculation outside. There's a Gemara. You ever hear the phrase Kedei Achilas Pras? Have you heard the phrase Kedei Achilas Pras? So what is the word the Talmud Rambam takes to eat a pras? What is a pras? Right? So pras sometimes means a reward, but that's not what it means over here. Pras means a part of something, means a half of something. So what's it referring to? It's referring to the Gemara talks about the a loaf of bread they used to use. They had a certain size loaf they used to use, which would be two meals worth of food for a basic meal. Half of that is one meal's worth. So Kedei Achilas Pras, they're saying one meal's worth of bread. So how much is that? So the Moraz Machloek is whether that's going to be the size of three kebayim or four kebayim. The total loaf being six kebayim or eight kebayim. Is the Machloek is Tanoyim, whether this loaf is six kebayim large, therefore half of that is three, or this loaf is eight kebayim large and half of that is four. The Rambam Paskins, the Machloek is Mishnah, how we Paskin. The Rambam Paskin, like the opinion, says three kebayim. So the loaf is six kebayim large, half of that, which is one meal's worth, is three kebayim large. Okay, so that's the shear, that is the, according to the Rambam, that's when a person is making a Rubik Hatzeris, a person making a Rubik Tchumen, a person making these things, we use this loaf, which is two meals worth, two Shabbos meals worth, because you have to wash for at least two of the Shabbos meals. So two Shabbos meals worth, the Friday night meal, the Shabbos morning meal, so this is the loaf you would need to be able to do that. So we use that loaf for a Rubik Hatzeris, we use that loaf for a Rubik Tchumen, etc. So how large is this? So the Marshal also tells me that it's the size of 18 kegregers. So if it's three kebayim, it's six kebayim is the total loaf. So you divide that. That means there's three kegargas per kebayim. And the moral also says in Shabbos that a kegargas is larger than a kezias. So there you have it. There are three kegargas in a bayim, according to the Rambam. There are nine kegargas in the Kedei Achilas Pras in three bayim. There are 18 in all six kebayim. So there's three per kebaya, and we know the Mor says that the kegargas is a little bit larger than a kezias, is larger than a kezias. So therefore, that means that there are three kezaisim in a kebaya at least. Now, how much larger does it say that the kezias, the kegargas? It doesn't tell us. So you don't know how much larger it is, right? So, but if you want to make you want to be comfortable and say for sure you're your mitzvah, according to the Rambam, you eat a third of a kebaya. You for sure you ate enough, right? So the Rama says that it's shlish bayin. Now the interesting thing, the Shulchan Aruch over here just brings Tosfos; it doesn't bring the Rambam. But the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Arubit Tchumen brings the Rambam shita of three kebayim, six kebayim for the total loaf. Rambam and Rubik Hatzeris, the Shulchan Aruch and Rubik Hatzeris brings the Rambam shita of six kebayim for the total loaf. In Hilchos Yom Kippur, we're talking about the halachas of eating Yom Kippur. He brings both opinions. So what's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch? What does he hold? So he says, so the Magen Avraham and the Bir Grah say like this. By mitzvah deraisa, you have to be makmer and eat a kachat kebayit. By the Rabbanan, you can rely on the Rambam, teach of the Rambam that it's a third of a kebayit. So now, you realize we've just taken our Rabbanan and we've done two kulas on it. A, you can rely on the opinion of a third of a kebayit. And B, you can assume that the eggs haven't changed. So the gap between your mitzvah deraisa matzah and your mitzvah deraisa matzah is not half, not double. Because this is going to be, this is only going to be two thirds. It's going to be two thirds. It's going to be two sixths of the one third of the size of your derisa. Now, then he says, but since you want to make a bracha on it, so maybe you should be shemach even with rabbanon. Maybe you want to make a bracha on it. So some of brachos lahakol, you should eat a kachatzi. So when you get to the mitzvah, I understand, but some of brachos, we have a rule, some of brachos lahakol. So preferably, even by the abundance, you should use the shear of a kachati beya, but you can use a smaller shear, a half size. Okay, so that's the Mishabura, gives us the rules of the ground rules. Comes along the Chazanish, and the Chazanish says one more point. He says, one second. The Gemara never ties a kezias to a kebeya to a revius. The Gemara never does that. We figured out based on this, you know, well, this larger than this, etc. That's very nice. But going with figuring it out, says the reason why I disagree with another Bihud. I said the reason why we follow the larger size when it comes to revius is because the Gemara tells me explicitly how many etzbos it is. And I have to measure with etzbos. So I have a conflict. I can measure with etzbos, or I can measure with eggs. Well, which one should I use? Etzbos is mentioned in the Torah. Eggs are never mentioned in the Torah. So this is a minatara measurement. This is a chachamim measurement. So of course, if I have a choice to which one to use, I'm going to use the Torah measurement. So whenever I discuss a revius, I have to use, the more gave me in those terms, I have to use a larger measurement. So I don't have a suffix. I have two ways to measure, and they clearly disagree. And this one is the one which the Torah gives for measurements, and this is the one which the Chachamim gives for measurements. I'm going to present to the Torah system. So I'm discussing the size of a revius for Kiddush. I know what I have to do. It's not a suffix. I have to use a larger shear. I'm discussing the size of something which the Gemara tells me how big a revius is supposed to be. It's 2 by 2 by 2.7. Good? All right, it's 10.8 cubic revius. Kezias? The Gemara writes, he used the kezias, whatever size the kezias is. Some of the Akharim come along and say, listen, according to the Rambam, they suggest that the Iker Shita of the Shulchan Aruch is like the Rambam. He mentions other shita, but the like so according to the Rambam, it's less than a third. I don't know how that kezebis. How much less? I don't know. Maybe it's half of the size of a kezebis. So maybe our olives are the right size. So we have two good arguments to say that our olives are the right size. Because he says that being said, the Mishnah Berurah and others ready were machria by the rice, you should be machmer by the kezias, etc. So if you could, of course you should do that. But if a person had difficulty doing that, we can use the measurements of our olives. Okay, so that's quite a
size of an.
Now, getting involved in figuring out exactly the relationship between the size of a revius and how big an etzba is. So how big is an etzba? All these become debatable. So if you turn to page 15,
what's our olives? How's the size on that?
Our olives are about 1/5 the size of an egg. Okay, so various different Talmid Chachamim of stature, our Poskim, have come along and done these measurements, figuring out about how large Revi should be, how large the Kazayas should be, how large, if it's a half an egg or if it's a third of an egg. And so some of them are fairly famous. So the first one is the opinion of Rabbi Chaim Noah, and the Chazon Ish had a running debate about the measurements. He basically was coming to protect the measurements which have been used in Yerushalayim for generations, and he spent a lot of time working out why those calculations are correct. And he came out that the revius is 86 cc, and the gematria of that word is kais. Chaf is 20, vav is 6, and samach is 60, so 86 is the gematria of kais. So the size of revius is kais. Chazon Ish says that the size of revius is 150 cc, which is the gematria of the word kais, hagun. Okay, if you do your math with the word hagun, you find out that it adds on the amount to get you to 150. There's a sefer Minas v'Shiurei Torah, which is a contemporary sefer, who did a large amount of research on this, and he came up with his measurements of a kezias, half an egg, being somewhat smaller even than the Grach Noah's calculation. He came up with the size of a kezias is 22.5 cc's, which is basically 3/4 of a fluid ounce.
It was based on
He did measurements.
Contemporary olives?
What?
Contemporary olives.
This is based on contemporary eggs. Not contemporary olives. Not even eggs. Not even olives yet. If you look at the Chubas HaGoyim, the last line over here, because I is based on a half an egg. It says non applicable because we don't use it based on the eggs. We use it based on the size of olives. So the shear is 0.2 fluid ounces, which is 6 cc. So you see that even the which is basically almost 1/4 of the measurements of the smallest measurement you have in the column above it. So I go to Chibas HaGoyim. So my olive would be 0.2 of fluid ounce, right? 1/50th of a fluid ounce. Right? You notice that the largest shear Moshe has is 1.1 fluid ounces, which is going to be 55 times larger. That's quite a discrepancy, right, in sizes. I don't think that the Shmuel Sagradim has been accepted, the Halakha L'maisa. Now, I want to point out an interesting thing, which is the bottom chart, there was supposed to be an order here. This is calculated by Rabbi Willig from the Rashiva and one of the Rashivas in Rietz, NYU. The Sefer Midos Shiur HaTorah also did the following calculation. So it's all these measures are all value. Is there any way we can translate this into weighing things? Because weighing things is a little bit easier than measuring by volume sometimes. So he said he did multiple times, he tested that the specific gravity, the density of matzah compared to water, for weight-wise, is basically half. So, which means that to get 22 cc's, in metrics, let's go back, in metric system, at 20 degrees Celsius, which is basically room temperature, 68 degrees, 1 gram of water, which is weight, is the size of 1 cc. So for our purposes, we're going to assume cc's and grams being the same. So 22.5 cc's of fluid, of liquid, is the same thing as 22.5 grams of weight. Okay, so it came out that basically to get that amount of volume in matzah, you can do that with about half. So 11 grams, or 12 grams worth of weight of matzah will equal 22 cc in volume. Okay, so now, how much do you get in a matzah? So it's not the most accurate scale in the world. It's a postal scale over here, and it says that it's set to zero. I put basically the size exhibit A.
Spelt matzah may have a different weight, though.
So I checked on that. Spelt matzah actually weighs about the same as wheat matzah. Yeah. Okay? This is 1.1 ounces of weight. Okay. So the relationship between 1.1 ounces in weight and grams is 1.1 ounces is 31 grams. Now I need, he said, 11 grams. So I need a third of this. Here's my mitzvah kazayas. That's what should come out according to this chart. That's what he did basically on this chart over here. Depending on how many matzahs per pound, he came out and he says, let's say your average box of matzahs is somewhere about 8 matzahs per pound. So 1/5 of a hand matzah, the average hand matzah, 1/5 of the average hand matzah would be the shear of a kazayas. Okay, now this arguably would be sufficient that there is a din d'rabbanan of eating 2 kazayasim by the first one. So if a person wants to eat more, a person could eat more. The Rambam says that every kazayas that you eat the night of the Seder is a mitzvah. So a person eats 10 kazayasim, he gets 10 mitzvah. He has a chiv to eat one. If he eats 10, he gets a mitzvah of eating 10. Right? That being said, a person who's weak and ill, etc., and difficult, a person takes these measurements, he has what to rely on. Now, if you want to be more machmer, Rabbi Badner did a lot of research. He did it not based on weight, he did it based on actually the challenge of doing water displacement with matzah, as you can imagine, is very difficult, because if you put the matzah into the water, it absorbs the water, it doesn't displace. Well, what about if you plasticize your, nowadays they can plasticize, you plasticize your matzah, right? Right, so the volume displacements remain the same. If you can replace the matzah, the molecules of the matzah with plastic molecules, right? So they did that. He did this. There's a system in which you can do that.
You wouldn't taste the difference.
What?
You wouldn't taste the difference.
Maybe it tastes better even. But in regards to displacement, did this measurement and he did it based on displacement, using the displacement system, which is the system which the Shulchan Aruch says to use, not by weight. And he came up with these measurements, which are a little bit larger. But even if you come with this measurement, which is 29 cc's, right? Basically, the volume of a fluid ounce. Translate that into your matzah. Right, it's going to be a challenge, but you can use the weight system to translate into your matzah. Right, so you argue that if it's 15 grams, you're good to go. So that's about half of that matzah is still going to be that shear. So if a person wants to calculate the shear, now that's talking about matzahs. Here we're saying, listen, we're very comfortable saying that really the correct shear is kazayasim, etc. What about by revius, by kiddush? That's more complicated because the revius we have, that we should be using the calculation of our finger breadths, not by eggs. It's a primary calculation. So what do we do? So is the mitzvah kiddush derais, the mitzvah kiddush derabbanan? So interestingly enough, the answer is yes. Rabbis are wonderful. So the Mitzvah Kiddush is a Din D'oraisa. The Mitzvah Kiddush on Shabbos is a Din D'oraisa. Friday night is a Din D'oraisa. On a Kois is the Rabbana. The Mitzvah saying Kiddush is the Raisa. The Mitzvah saying Kiddush on a Kois is the Rabbana. Okay, so we say the Mitzvah Kiddush is the Raisa. The Mitzvah Kiddush is the Rabbana. So I can use a smaller shear. So Mishnah Berurah says no. It would be preferable for that since they tied it to a Mitzvah D'oraisa, you should use the larger shear. Therefore, he says, when you come to the Seder, Mitzvah Kiddush on Yom Tov is the Rabbana. So the four crisis is the Rabbana. Unless the Seder is Friday night. The Seder is Friday night. The first cup should be a larger cup. So it would be a good suggestion is that you can use a larger cup for the first crisis and then switch to a smaller cup. Now, you could, just use a larger cup and then drink whatever you want to drink. Right, you know what's the difference? So that's not 100% correct because the rule is when you drink you make kiddush, you bench on a kais. Anytime you're saying something in a havdalah, you're supposed to drink. There's a covenant of the kais. You have to drink a shirin called malin lugbah. Malin lugbah is usually calculated as the majority of a revius. So if your revius is 4.4 ounces, Rosh says it's. Right. Let's say you would calculate that's the size of your revius. Okay, so Rosh says it's 4.42 fluid ounces. Right, so majority of that is 2.2. Right, 2.3. Not very large. However, by the midst of the Dalet Kaisis, there's a lot of drinking Rav Kais. That's unique to the Dalet Kaisis. Unique to Dalet Kaisis. Anytime you're making Kiddush, Havdalah, benching, brismila, whatever it is, whatever you're doing over there, shrikim ole lugmav. Lel Seder, the Mishabur comes out, you're supposed to drink roif kais. So if you have a 10-ounce kais, so you have to drink a little bit over 5 ounces. You have a 20-ounce kais, you have to drink a little bit over 10 ounces. And you have a 4-ounce kais, you drink a little bit over 2 ounces. So now I say, listen, the first kais, Friday night, the first kais is the rice, so I choose a larger kais. Good. But nobody tell me I have to keep that kais the rest of the Seder. Because I want to drink roif kais. And the actually says, preferably you should drink the whole kais. Right? So your Aunt May did you a favor and she brought you this beautiful becher, which is like 8.5 ounce becher. That's beautiful. Use it for Kesha Leo. Let Leo drink it. Leave me out of it.
Right?
But, you know, for yourself, you know. So my wife and I, we did this long search to find, they have glasses, which are 4.5 ounce glasses. Right, you've been searching Bed Bath & Beyonds and this store and that store, and eventually we found the cups which claim that they're 4.5 ounces. Of course, we measured them and they're not. This way we can say, okay, why am I using these gigantic kaises? And I can use a 4.5 ounce kais, say Kiddush on it, that's good for the first kais for sure, according to Moshe, and the rest of the kaises for sure. It's more than enough, and then I don't have to be using these my regular kais. My cost of present kais for the Seder was 6.5 ounce kais. Well, why am I using such a large kais for the Seder? So I want to get the mitzvah of roiv kais or kola kais, and also make sure that I have the right correct shear. Yes,
is that larger shear for the first kais on Friday night for the Seder just for the Mekadesh or for all the Mesubim?
So that's a great question. So Friday night, normally it's just for the one saying the Kiddush. He has the Kiddush in that. So what happens by the Seder? I might be Yotze to Kiddush with the Mekadosh, or I'm Yotze Kiddush with my own Kais. And that is a good question. It's a big debate. So I don't have a good answer to that question. It would seem to me that you're about to be Yotze with the Mekadosh.
Okay. If one is
unless the minute each person says their own Kiddush, then there's no question that they have to use the larger Kais. Okay.
The Torah has a solid measure called an ephah.
Right.
That doesn't seem to figure in here at all.
Okay. So, an ephah is 432 eggs.
Oh, so that they converted to.
Okay. And that's how we know shir chal, because the shir of chal is an omer. It says, the pasuk when it says, when you're eating lechem, so lechem means the lechem that the amount that they used to get in the midbar, they got an omer each day. Right, an omer is a serious ephah. It's one tenth of an ephah. So if there's 432 eggs in an ephah, There are 43.2 eggs in the Shir Challah. That's how we get the measurement of the Shir Challah from. That's where it comes from. So the math of it, I can, you know, get how all the multiplications we can do at different times. But that's where the Shir 43.2 eggs comes for Shir Challah from that measurement. Okay. Last thing is bread. So I didn't bring a slice of bread in to measure over here, but our goal is not just to measure. We need to know what's its density compared to water, right? Because the point is, if it has the same density of water, then I need the weight of. Remember, our volume in metrics, volume and weight of water are the same at room temperature. So 22.5 cc's is 22.5 grams. Of water, right? So if this has the same density as water, so it'll have the same weight. Sorry, measure by weight, but the same. But if I tell you that the density of breads, of course, I looked online. Of course, they tell me, like, you know, they gave me like five different options depending on what type of bread you have. You know, what the density is. You know, different types of bread, etc. So I don't know what they didn't have challah as one of the options. They didn't have my wife's challah for sure as one of the options. So I don't know, but it seems to be that it's somewhere about 8/10 of the weight. It's 0.8 of the weight of bread compared to water. So I can do the same thing. I can take, you know, I can now say, okay, the shear that I need is 22. I multiply that times 0.8, right? And I come up with my number of 18, whatever it is. And I weigh out how much bread I need to eat a kazayas based on that amount. And I would have now my measurement. It's not very large. So my rebbeim told me, if you can picture, because we're all good Jewish rye, right? Jewish rye bread from the bakery, 2-pound loaf, right? Slice from the middle. Picture it, okay? Cut that in half. That's Rebbeim told me. That's a kazayas. That's a shear of kazayas, and therefore, the shear of kebaya is a full slice. So I actually, based on these measurements, actually that's generous. It's even less than half of a slice. This measurement is even less than half of a slice. So, but that's for sure. If a person wants you to make sure to eat a kazayas, the kazayas is based on the volume of the half a slice of one slice of rye bread, of the, you know, the from the middle of the loaf, which is not gigantic. For a meal, the bulk is a person any amount of bread that you eat, you have to samoitzi. You bench on a kazayas. You only say on the tilsidayim if you eat a kebaya. So a person finally only eats a half a slice, he should not say alas yisadayim. He'll say hamoitzi. He should wash his hands without a bracha. Wash his hands without a bracha. He says hamoitzi and the whole bench. A person will eat a whole slice, he'll wash his hands with a bracha, alas yisadayim, and he will eat that. He has to eat this in now the time of Kreachilas Pras. How long is Kreachilas Pras? For matzah, for this, it's 4 minutes. 4 minutes is a shear which you can rely on. 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes even, is a shear you can rely on for the Kreachilas Pras. One last thing pointing out about, mentioning about Hamoitzi, and my time for the shear is finished. I want to point out, the Mishnah Berurah comes out that halacha, that the food and the meal is considered secondary to the bread, is only viewed as kazayis. So the person eats, says a moitzi on his bread, and eats less than half a slice. He needs to make a bracha rishona and all the other foods. And the meat, and the vegetables, whatever he's eating, they're not considered secondary to the bread, and included in the bracha of a moitzi, unless you eat a kazayas of the bread. Therefore, the Night of Yehuda, the Dagon Bava suggests that a person should make sure at the beginning of the meal he eats a kazayas right away. This way you know for sure you ate your kazayas, you ate a kreachilas pras, and now everything afterwards is considered secondary to the bread. There's no question of making a bracha and everything else in the meal, etc. Even though, of course, you know you're planning to have many, many kazayasim. At this rate, you know, the shear we just gave you, you're going to probably end up eating multiple kazayasim during a meal, but that you're starting eating other foods. You haven't eaten a kazayas yet, so you want to first be kaveya the suda on a kazayas. And they actually suggest that it's preferable a person should not even speak. It's erupt. So he finishes that kazayas. Again, the kazayas is not very large, because that calculation, that half a slice, is actually larger than a kazayas. Based on what we're calculating over here, it's actually less than that. It's probably about a third of a slice. Because the average slice is like 125 grams. I did all the math, whatever it came out. You know, so based on that, you know, it's about a, it's closer, it's more than a third and less than a half of a slice of bread. So that would be a suggestion a person should do. Now, of course, I'm not telling you shouldn't tell your wife that the challah is delicious, right? Immediately, right? You should make sure you swallow first before you say that, because that is questionable. But you know, that's in my that there is. We do believe that Sekhamas Afoshes is doicha all the mitzvahs. Okay, I think that I've covered what I wanted to cover, and I hope that has enlightened you and clarified a little bit the some of the calculations we have behind the kazayas. One last thing I wanted to say. The Reb Chaim Volozhiner went with the shear of a kazayas bismaneinu, and the shear of a kazayas that he would give out by the Seder was the size of the palm of his hand. Okay, so in case a person is ill, or a person has some type of illness which makes it difficult for him to eat matzah, etc., we can rely on that smaller shear. You know, if necessary, we can rely on that smaller shear. And if you want to be, now that we're being makel on it, shemachmer on it, right? You shouldn't, you know, you don't want to get involved in a selak bracha achrona. So once you eat that amount, you have a selak bracha achrona. Right? So a person should be machmer, if he's eating whatever food he's eating, he should eat less than that amount. Otherwise, he has suffolk, he may be chayv in a bracha achrona. So it's only fair, right? You're not supposed to machmer yourself in the same case of suffolk bracha. So, you know, I'll just take a bite and I won't have to, you know, it's less than a shear. I won't have to worry about bracha achrona. That's not so simple, because that shear is not very big. I'm talking about matzah. Give them thin, how much volume that is. It's, all right, here we go. It's 6 cc.
So one cookie then. For example,
one cookie is way above that shear.
One cookie is way above
6 cc. One cookie is about 30 cc.
Even a sandwich cookie, like a small sandwich
cookie? A small sandwich cookie is probably, I don't know, 15 cc, whatever it is. You can do it. You have to find out the density, you can figure it out.
So the halakha ma'aseh, are you saying that really a person should...
Really, a person should basically make sure you eat enough to eat it, because I said bracha achrona. Now, well, how much is it need for bracha achrona? We didn't really discuss that. The Rabbi Yashar wanted to say we rely on the smaller shear. Not this smaller shear. But it's a drabonon. Bracha achrona is a drabonon. It's a chiyuv drabonon. So we somehow call the smaller... So whatever the third egg measurements are that you have, you know, so it's not a very large. It's about a little over a half a fluid ounce. Already a person could say a bracha achrona. Okay.